Okay. All right. Did you enjoy our praise band this morning? Amen. All right. Well, she did a great job. I actually recognized the words to 3 out of 4 songs. So just come to see me when I'm in Renaissance and bring those 3, all right? Turn to Daniel chapter 1, verse 3 through 6 and verse 8. Today I want to talk to you about our decisions and our destination. Daniel chapter 1, verse 3, then the king ordered Asphinaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine for the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Look at verse 8. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. October 2017, I officiated at a wedding for one of our precious members over in Paulding County. On that night, we stayed. Wonderful, wonderful wedding. Precious couple. They had a great reception. I request that the DJ play My Girl. And after Delaney and I had dinner and we danced to My Girl and dipped a few times, we decided it was time for us to leave. When we walked out, we had parked in a cow pasture. There were no lights. There were lots and lots of cars. And so when I went out there, I said, Delaney, I want to look on both sides of the car here and make sure we'll be safe when we leave. I did as I always do, guys. I opened the door for her on her side, let her in, got in, cranked the car, pulled off. I was doing 5 miles an hour and crunch. I said, oh no, I've hit a trash can. So I backed up easy, and that trash can turned out to be a 2008 Toyota Camry. I ripped a quarter of the bumper, front bumper, off that automobile. There was nobody in the parking lot. The owners of the car were not there. I had a decision to make. Would I just get in my car and drive off like nothing happened? Or would I do what God wanted me to do and treat them like I would want to be treated? Today I want to share with you about a teenager, a young adult named Daniel. He was in the Babylonian Empire, away from his own country, and his people, the Jews, were enslaved by the Babylonians. We find here that he made some decisions that determined his destiny. There's something I want you to write down about Daniel. There is never one negative thing said about Daniel in the scriptures. That does not mean he was perfect. The only one who was perfect and is perfect is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. But there's nothing bad ever said about Daniel in the Bible. Every day we are faced with decisions, and many times our decisions are determined by the passion we have for Christ. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And that should override every decision that we make. Now I want you to notice that Daniel made a decision. He found himself not in the land of promise. He found himself in a foreign culture. Some of you high school seniors, you're going to go off to college and you're going to find yourself in a foreign culture. People are crazy. You're going to meet some of the craziest people you've ever met in your whole life on a college campus. I was amazed when I went off to seminary. There were crazy students in the dorm at seminary. There were people there who were just looking for themselves. And notice what Daniel said. Daniel said, I'm not going to give into the culture. I'm going to stand for what's right. I'm going to stick with the Word of God. And he says, I'm going to be faced with all kinds of decisions, but he purposed in his heart that he would not swim with the culture. He said, I'm not going to eat the king's meat nor drink the king's wine. These things were forbidden to him as a Jew. You know, I think of a young lady many, many years ago named Cassie Burnell. She was at high school one day, Columbine. Classes were going on as usual, and two students broke into the school with guns. They slaughtered many students. But I want you to know Cassie was a Christian. And one of those students who had a gun walked up to her and said, do you believe in God? She said, yes. And he killed her. She instantly said yes, because the Lord Jesus Christ lived in her heart. Her brother, on the night of her death, found her diary. And here's what she wrote the previous Sunday. She said, I've given up on everything else, and I've found it be the only way to know Christ and to experience the mighty power that brought him back to live again and to find out what it means to suffer and die with him. So whatever it takes, I'll be the one who lives in the fresh newness of life of those who are alive from the dead. First thing I want you to write down is Daniel made a choice. Look at this. Daniel said this. He said, I'm just going to make a choice right up front. I'm going to live for God. Now, here's our problem when we make decisions. Listen to me carefully, especially our graduates. And I wrote this for you. God gave it to me. I just love it with all my heart. But Daniel weighed the consequences down the road concerning his decision. A young couple can be out on a date and let their guard down and make a decision that will shape negatively the rest of their life. I've watched husbands and wives cheat on each other. They think it's fun, they think it's fulfilling, but then there's the consequences, and the fallout is upon the children. People go and they cast a vote at the ballot box. And sometimes they haven't prayed about it and considered it carefully. And then we as a society lives with those decisions. Sometimes we're involved in sins in private. And you say, this won't hurt anybody else. Daniel considered the consequences, and he made a hard decision. He found himself in unfamiliar surroundings. A Jewish boy, while the Jews were in Babylonian captivity, he's in the presence of mortal enemies. His Hebrew name's been changed to something else. And he has three friends along with him been taken to the king's palace. They've been wined. They've been dined. They've been influenced. They've been promised all kinds of things. If you'll just cooperate, you won't have to be out here with your people and be slaves. You'll be a part of the king's palace. These were unusual circumstances. These boys were away from their families. They no longer had mom and dad to help them make decisions. They no longer had mom to tell them what was right and what was wrong. They no longer had a mom and dad around who would say, listen, you need to make sure you read your Bible every day, and you need to pray that God will lead your steps every single day. They had to make decisions for themselves, hard decisions, and take responsibility for their actions. Years ago, we learned about a man named Nicholas Berg. Nicholas was only 26 years old. He made a decision to go to Iraq. He was not in the military. He was a telecommunications engineer. His parents told him, don't go. His partner in business said, don't go. Our government said, don't go. Halliburton said, don't go. He said, I am going to Iraq, and I'm going into business to help restore telecommunications. Upon his arrival, he was arrested by Iraqi police. And then the Iraqi insurgents captured him. You remember the pictures? The insurgents killed him. They videoed it. And then one of the Iraqi insurgents took a machete and cut his head off. That's a reminder to us, there are people who hate the United States of America. And so as young people go out into this world, don't be fooled by people who say, we don't need to be a country that is known for our strength. We have to be. Be careful about the choices you make, because oftentimes, not only through His Word, but God sends godly counsel along your side to tell you what's good for you. Notice the next thing He made. He made a choice that was concrete. Notice He made a heart decision. He purposed in His heart. Listen, you take in information in your mind, but then God burns that into your mind through the Holy Spirit. He lets it settle and resolve in your heart. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what's wrong with our churches today. Our churches are not influencing our culture. Our culture is influencing our churches. I want to prove that to you. The best church growth manual is found in the book of Acts. Now, you can read Simple Church, you can read any other of these books out here that you want to read, but the best book on church growth is the book of Acts. Now, I want you to know that we find there, and also in Matthew, that those early disciples, when they started the first church in Acts, those disciples, those apostles, they were salt. Salt has a healing quality to it. But let me ask you a question. What happens if you cut yourself and you rub it in salt? I'm allergic to salt water. We walked along the beach. And guess what? That's all I did, is walk along the beach. My feet broke out like poison ivy. And today, if you just see me moving a little bit, I'm just scratching the tops of my feet. That's all I'm doing. Well, when you put salt on there, it burns. Let me tell you something. When you point out sin in society, it burns. And people don't like to hear it. Those early apostles and disciples and preachers, they were also light. Light pointing people to Jesus. But ladies and gentlemen, you've got to turn the light on sin. Because if a person doesn't realize that they're a sinner, they have no idea they're in need of a Savior. We don't want long sermons. We don't want doctrinal sermons. We want a life coach that'll tickle our ears to tell us how to get through life. Notice he also received the Word. Remember, Paul told Timothy, he said, wake up, remember the Scripture that you were taught by your mother and your grandmother. Daniel and his friends realized they'd been set aside as special vessels for God. So Daniel received the Word and he said, I can't do these things. I can't participate with the Babylonians. It's against my beliefs, the Jewish beliefs, to take part in eating their food and drinking the king's wine. So notice, in a minute, he made a decision. Make sure your decisions are concrete based on your Bible-based beliefs. I've got 8 more months with my braces. I'm the oldest patient at the orthodontist office. I think that I'll be on Medicare when I get out of my braces. That's the truth. And I'm just so excited about that. And so I was laying back in the chair there one day, and one of these young girls looks about 20. She comes in there and she's working on my mouth, and I don't know, started talking about marriage. And so I said, well, I said, my wife and I just celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary. We went to Hawaii. And what, you know, when they got your mouth open and they got you hawking and then they're moving around, they ask you a question and they got instruments in your mouth. Well, she does that. And she says, I did marriage backwards. I said, how do you do marriage backwards? Shouldn't ask the question. She said, I had a baby 6 months before I got married. I said, well, isn't it great that the father of your child married you? She looked back quickly. She said, I told him, if you don't love me, don't marry me because of the baby. But you know what? She had heard about true love waits. There's forgiveness. But it's still grinding at her conscience. Make sure you make decisions based on the concrete principles of the Word of God. Third thing I want you to write down quickly is Daniel made a counterculture decision. Look at verse 11 through 15. Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance to that of young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed. And he tested them for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, Daniel and his friends looked better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food and drank the king's wine. Now, what did I tell you? The food that the king served was forbidden by their Jewish beliefs. Now let me just step out to the side here. Sometimes I have to speak from the Silver Creek Revised Standard Version. You know what I think Daniel was saying? I want some black-eyed peas, no pork, no seasoning in there, no side meat. I want turnip greens, collard greens, beets, carrots, and some French fries. You with me now? Now notice here, it says that they did this, and at the end of 10 days, they came out, and they were compared to the king's men, and these old boys were the healthiest and the strongest. Daniel's decision was humble. He was respective of the king and the culture. He was there in their land as a guest in their palace. He was so coerced like guest. They had taken him captive from his own land, but I want you to know he wanted to be a witness to those who were not of his culture. You know, we need to lead people to Jesus. I don't have time to tell you this morning. God gave us a ministry on the beach last week. We had fun with Mary Ann that we baptized in the Gulf last spring. We took her to dinner a time or two, took her to breakfast. Then I got an opportunity to share with some other people. Then I got blessed out by a man because I'm a Baptist preacher. I'll tell you about that later. Got a chance to encourage some people that don't know what to do with their life. I wasn't going up and down the beach. I was on vacation. I just want to hold up V. I'm on vacation. Don't talk to me. But God put some in my path. In fact, I've still got some 50 block tan lotion on the outside of my notebook. I'm sitting there trying to study the Word of God for you this morning, and people are standing there talking my ears off. You don't get in people's faces and share the gospel. You build a relationship with folks and love them to Christ. And that's what he was doing. I'm not going to ask how many of you have season passes to Disney World. Years and years ago, there was a man named Walt Disney. And he was in black and white. He was not in color to start with. And he had a vision about founding Disneyland. He took one of his friends, Art Linkletter, out to California to some orange groves, and he talked about Disneyland, Disney World, and on it went. And Linkletter said, I remember when we went out there, we were a long way from Los Angeles, and we walked out into these orange groves, and as we walked, Walt Disney looked at Art and said, listen, he said, way out here in these orange groves, we're going to put up a bunch of merry-go-rounds. And people are going to come from all over the world. And Art Linkletter thought he'd lost his mind. So here's what Walt said. He said, "Art, here's what I want you to do." He said, "I'm going to buy all this place where we're going to build all the different lands of what I'm going to call Disney. But I want you to buy all the out parcels out here. It'll be worth millions and millions of dollars." Art Linkletter said, "Well, I don't think so. I don't believe people are going to come from all over the world to a place called Disneyland. No, thank you." You know the rest of the story. Here's what Art Linkletter said. He said, later on, after Disneyland was established in California, he said, "I figured that it cost me, by not buying the out parcels, $3 million for every step I made over that property." Can you imagine that kind of money, all because of a decision? Notice a commendable decision. Daniel made an honored decision. God honored his decision. Daniel 1:17 is, "For these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all the visions and the dreams." God gave him a special ability. And God will honor you if you make decisions that are hard, and you make decisions from your heart that's saturated in the Word of God. He'll give you success. He'll give you strength. He'll give you skill. Look at verse 18 through 21. "At the end of time, set by king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. So they entered the king's service in every matter of wisdom and understanding about the king. Questioned them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus." Do you notice Daniel said, "Test us for 10 days? Why 10? 10 is the time of testing in the Bible. I want you to write this down. The number 10 is also the number of human limit. We have, most of us, 10 fingers and 10 toes. Listen carefully. 10 in the Bible is the number of human completion. As far as human wisdom and human understanding was concerned, these fellows had it. They were the summa cum laude. They were the 18. They were the first string. They were at the top of their class. They were number one. Once they were slaves, once they were on the very edge, but once they were tested, they were faithful." Listen, God's going to test you. God's going to allow you to be tested. He won't bring anything evil towards you. He won't bring any evil temptation, but he'll allow you to be tested. And the Bible says, if you'll just delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Well, I went in from that dark cow pasture and talked to the DJ. I said, "Man, will you make an announcement? I've hit a Toyota Camry out here in the parking lot." He made the announcement, and nobody came forward. I walked back out in that dark parking lot, and there was Delaine with a mother, a college-age daughter. They had gotten in the Camry. Delaine rolled down the window and said, "Stop, don't leave, don't leave." They thought Delaine was strange. I could have told them to listen to her. She said, "Stop." She said, "My husband hit your car." The lady said, "Nothing wrong with my car." Lane said, "Get out and look. Your bumper's been pulled out this way, a quarter of the way off." Well, I told the girl, I said, "You know, we need to call the Paulding County Police. Even though it's private property, we need a record of the accident." So I started talking to her. Like I said, she's a college student. She said, "You know, Mr. May," she said, "I just got this car. Now, I'm feeling bad already, you understand? And I've got a pretty hard heart. She said, somebody rear-ended me going 60 miles an hour and demolished my car 6 weeks ago. And it was a hit and run. And we had to find money to buy this Toyota. Now, I'm not feeling good at all right now. And then here's what she said. I talked to her about the Lord and church. She said, I've been active in a church all my life. She said, but my heart's so heavy. Said my pastor was having an affair and just got fired. Our worship leader just got fired. And our music minister just quit. She said, our church will never overcome the damage that our pastor did. Well, I hadn't told her I was a pastor of a church yet. She's in the grief process already. So a police officer came out. He wrote everything up. You know, he was very formal and very official. And then we got through. I told the girl, I said, listen, car's drivable. Here's my number. I said, you take it to anybody you want, and I want you to be satisfied. So I called my insurance company of 33 years. One accident back in 1997. And my insurance company said, we are going to double your rates. And you know what I told them? You're fired. Isn't that right? So I decided to pay for the accident out of my own pocket. Billy rode with me the day that I went to Cedartown to meet this girl and her father in a bank. She had got her car all fixed. She was satisfied. So I said, I'm just going to write you a personal check, and I want you to sign a little waiver that says you're satisfied and you don't sue me for $5,000 later on in your college career. So I went in there, and she handed me the bill. I said, I tell you what, I'm not going to pay you that amount. I'm going to pay you more. I've never seen a college student that didn't need money. Have you? She said, Mr. May, you don't have to do that. I said, but I am. We hugged her. I shook her dad's hand. And you know what? I'm not doing that to call attention to me. I just want you to know we want to do what God wants us to do and treat others like we want to be treated. What if I had run off that night, not even left a note on her windshield? And later she found out the pastor of Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church wrecked her car and didn't fix the damages. How many of you have ever heard of Mary Kay? Some of you look like Mary Kay this morning. I'm not going to ask how many of you sell Mary Kay. We don't want to advertise. Mary Kay was so successful. She was interviewed by U.S. News and World Report one time, and here's what she said. I like to work longer hours. But if the process in doing that, she said, I lose my husband or my family, I'm doing things the wrong way. She said, it's no fun to count your money by yourself. One reason for her success when she was living, God first, family second, business third. To our graduates, from my heart to yours, you keep God first. He's going to let you make some awesome decisions. And you're going to be amazed at your destiny. We stand right where you are, heads about, eyes are closed.